Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Greg Birdwell, the preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio, and with me is Kyle Lamb. Today we're continuing to talk about Kyle Lamb and specifically his testimony, how he came to know the Lord. So in the last episode, Kyle, you told us about your conversion story. And what I'd like to talk about now is just the means that the Lord used in those early days to help you grow. Because I remember when we met, I was kind of struck by how not only how passionate you were about the Lord, but how knowledgeable in the Scriptures. So there had to have been some influencing going on there. So talk about that. Like what kinds of influences were going on in your life in those early days?
Sure. So very early, I started going to church with my friend Matt, the gentleman who was the firefighter, and we went to a few churches. Eventually, I wound up at a church and that taught baptismal regeneration. I didn't really buy into it, but in those days, I was listening to people like David Platt and John Piper. And
how did you find them?
I don't know.
I just
online, I guess. Yeah, I'll be honest, was a group of pastors. They have like a podcast, or not a podcast, like an app and a website. I was listening to those guys, but I really cannot remember how I came across them, but I did. And
see, all of those names tell me that the Lord was doing something
to
move you in a particular direction.
Well, to add to that too, when I bought my first Bible, and nothing against these Bible translations at all, but I think I bought like a NLT at first, and I was like, this isn't right. I got to get something else. And then I got an NIV, and I was like, this is better, but still not right. And I bought an NASB. I said, this is almost right. And then I got rid of that too, and then I bought the ESV, and I felt at home with the ESV. No influence at all to buy these Bibles.
Yeah.
People can probably anticipate where this is kind of all
funny.
Lead into.
Yeah.
But yeah, I listened to those guys. I read, I think, David Platt's book, Radical, which definitely influenced me.
Okay. So you were listening to those kinds of sermons.
Yes.
All right. Any books other than David Platt, anything else that you got your hands on?
Some bad books, honestly, but I didn't like them. David Platt's book really had effect on me because I remember this point reading in there where it said Jesus wasn't sweating blood and crying in the garden because he was afraid of the cross. He was afraid he's about to absorb the wrath of God, and I was like, whoa, that just struck me hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the church I was going to was did not like these people. And I had brought up John Piper to one of the guys there, and he says, isn't he a Calvinist? And I said, Calvinist, what's that mean?
So you hadn't heard that phrase
before? Never heard
of
it.
Even in listening to all these guys, you hadn't heard it?
Not even once. I went home, and I was like, I gotta look this word up. What's this mean? Mm-hmm. If John Piper's one of these, I might want to be one of these. I remember I found he has this article. It's called The 7 Points of Calvinism. Typically you hear 5 points. He wrote 7. I think 2 of them were just kind of like added things he had thought through. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, oh, my word, these are so biblical. This makes so much sense because I read the Bible a lot. I mean, I was just devouring that thing.
Now, it may be helpful to talk about this just briefly. Yeah. How is it that you had all of this time to read the Bible and stuff?
That's helpful. So I had, after being converted, talking about my back injury that I had previously, I eventually had surgery on my spine. And during this time, it was shortly after this guy said stuff about Calvinism, I was recovering, and I had a lot more time, just me and the Bible and the Lord downstairs in my mom's basement, and I was just reading it regularly, and just through the influence of these pastors I was listening to and reading the Scriptures regularly, I listened to a few sermons by John MacArthur. He was going through some verses in the Bible, talking about the sovereignty of God, and I think most importantly of all is Brett Tardif. during this time, he kind of came into the church I was visiting and like stole me from it.
Yeah. Now, Brett, the name Tardif will be familiar to people at Providence because his brother Corey is, and Corey's wife Jenna are members at Providence. But tell us who Brett is.
Yeah, Brett is Corey's younger brother. Me and Brett are nothing alike apart from the Lord. And I don't mean that negatively. Brett just, he is a very intentional guy. I love him to death. He just showed up at that church one day.
That's the weirdest thing, because he went to church here.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
going to church here. Right, like, yeah. Why would he even go to that church?
I don't know.
I think the Lord sent him on a mission. Go get this guy named Kyle.
Oh, you know what, Greg? I'm sorry. I lied. I met him at Dorothy Lane Market in Springboro. Oh,
okay.
So he showed up at that church with intention.
To get you?
I don't know.
So okay.
But we
that would make perfect sense, just yes. knowing Kyle. Can I tell you, I'm knowing Brett, can I tell you a quick
yeah, just please do.
Like Brett and his family started coming to Providence back when we were meeting in the school. This was like year one. And I don't know that I heard him say a word
that doesn't surprise
like
me.
4 years.
Sure.
So but then one day, I'm in my office right here where we are, and I've got my back to the door, and I hear this voice say, "Pastor Greg, I repented." And I turn around, and Brett's standing there, and he's just beaming. I mean, those are the first words I ever heard him say, "Pastor Greg, I repented." And you talk about a radical conversion.
Yeah.
His is like yours in the sense that this person is completely different than he was before. You know, he's got like a one-track mind. He's all Jesus all the time.
Yeah.
So it would not surprise me at all if he went to that church to get you.
Yeah, I'm almost positive he did. He just said, "I got to check this out." And he just started telling me, "Hey, this stuff isn't good, stuff that you're hearing here. Let's start meeting together. And you know what? I want you to come check out my church," which was Providence at that time. I said, "Okay, that sounds good."
Now, let me just give a disclaimer. We don't do this. Like, sure. We don't send our people to other churches to poach sheep.
Right. Yeah. I said, "Okay." So, Brett was such a servant. He came to there was two services at this church as well. We went to the early service, and he came with me, and, oh, man, it was, I don't want to go into the details of that very much. But then we came to Providence, the second service, and you guys all were just so welcoming to me, and just hearing the preaching and how the people love the Bible. I remember thinking, I can never go back to that church again. And that's when I started going to Providence. But let me rewind a little bit. Recovering from my back surgery, a lot of time to read the scriptures. The Lord, I'm kind of talking about what I call my second conversion when I became a Calvinist, all through the Lord's influence. I just was so affected by the scriptures and the pastors I was listening to. I remember I read a little snippet from Charles Spurgeon about Reformed theology, and I went upstairs to my mom, and I probably freaked her out. I said, "Mom, God chose me." And she's like, "Yeah?" I was like, "No, you don't get it. Like, he actually chose me." And she's like, "Okay, son, that's great." And I just went back downstairs, back to my hole, and just kept reading. I felt died for, like, that, you know, Jesus had intentionally died for my sins. And before, it was kind of like he just died for whoever, you know, just hoping that people would come to Christ. You know, he actually died for me. But the next day, I remember that specific day, the next day, Brett had come over to do a Bible study, and that's when I asked Brett. I said, "Brett, are you a Calvinist?" He said, "I am." And then I said, in that moment, I said, "I am too."
Now, what about Brett made you think that he might be a Calvinist?
Probably his love for the scriptures. Not to say that if you're not a Calvinist, you don't love the scriptures, but just he loved the Bible. He's very intentional, very serious. But honestly, I don't know beyond that. I just had a feeling, so to say.
Now, some people are uncomfortable with the label Calvinist.
Sure.
Because they don't like labels, or they're just turned off by the word. What would you say to people like that?
It's in the Bible. It's everywhere.
Okay. Not the word Calvinist, but just
the
concepts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the concepts, without a doubt. Okay. I'm just using that word because understand it.
Yeah, people know what it is.
I typically use Reformed theology as well, or the doctrines of graces. But yeah, that I could not get away from this teaching It felt like a second conversion.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah, it was. I lost 20 pounds after becoming a Calvinist.
Now, how did that work?
I was like, I didn't have an appetite anymore. All I wanted to do was just study. And
it's the Reformed theology diet.
Yeah, and I said, I'm going to eat grilled chicken. I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm going to eat grilled chicken. And I did, and I lost a ton of weight. And I was just so full on the word and on this truth, and it really humbled me. That's the main thing I took from all of this, is I was like, I did nothing. And then looking back on my conversion, I was like, oh yeah, that's when it really started to make sense, my conversion experience.
Your conversion only makes sense.
Right.
From a Reformed theology perspective.
Right, right. Yeah. People ask me, well, did you pray a prayer? No, I was just sitting on my black futon bed, just in a moment converted, and it was, and just deleted all my music. That, yeah, it was just out of nowhere.
You were claimed.
Yes.
You weren't sold. You weren't sold.
Sure.
Nobody sold the gospel to
right.
you. You were claimed.
Yeah, and it takes me back to even being a child. I just had, it's amazing how after conversion, you kind of look back on things in your life, and you see God's hand moving, and just growing up, it's as if I can think back and see that God was, not that he was chasing me and couldn't catch me, but he was just, even from a young age, working in me. Because from feeling daily, I'm going to hell if I do not repent of my sin. I remember I had friends who would say that they didn't believe God was real and the Bible was, you know, false. And I wasn't even a Christian. That angered me because I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I'm like, this is true. I knew it was. And just
that, yeah, and that too only makes sense from a Reformed theology perspective. You believe it's true. You know you're going to hell. You know the only way to be saved is Jesus, and you still won't do it.
Right.
I mean, if there was something, if your heart could have been sold on the truth, it would have been.
Right.
But you were dead in your trespasses and sins.
Yep. Fear didn't lead me to repent. I mean, because I was afraid, as I said, little kid. I mean, this church, it was hellfire, brimstone. Mm-hmm. Terrifying. And so that didn't get it. It wasn't, I ran into some people who were just kind of talking about the good life. I kind of dabbled in the health and wealth a little bit. That didn't get me either. It was just the radical conversion, the change of heart that God, you know, wrought in me. And it was, yeah.
So you've got, it's in terms of influences that the Lord used to kind of carry you along there at the beginning, you've got preachers and books, and obviously the Bible, of course, that you're reading a lot. Friends like Brett Tardif. Anything else that you think of that in those early days the Lord was using? That may cover it, but
yeah, you know, just looking back, it was obviously the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible answer. Just the leading me to all these different, I mean, again, I didn't seek out these resources. I didn't seek out even the Bible translation I landed on. Brett, just the Lord leading Brett into my life, is just, yeah, those were my, I did start going to Bible college, actually, at Liberty University, which is, I mean, it's a good college, but Greg, you actually influenced me to start at Boyce. And that is, once I switched to Boyce, and lived on campus, actually, it just took on a whole new level, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, those were those influences.
Okay.
My early Christian life. Yeah.
Okay.
And Providence is where I landed.
Yeah.
When I went to school, I obviously went to church in Louisville, and then I ended up at an internship in Dayton, Ohio, which was invaluable. And here I am. I'm back here again with my wife, Ashley, and about to be a little girl.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, you, and you know, there are so many others at Providence that I would put in this category. You're just a great example of what the Lord does by His grace, just snatching people out of sin and death, and transforming them and making them into saints who love other people and love Him. And now you're in the secular workplace. And what are some of the big challenges there?
I think the biggest challenge of all is, as the day goes on, pushing spiritual matters out of my mind. It's almost natural to just get into the flow, and then the things you hear around you, the conversations. I have to remind myself that there are people around me without a Savior who will go to hell. it's hard to always think of the eternal, because when you have the temporal all around you, it's really easy to be caught up. And I don't mean in terms of like falling away from the faith. I just mean in just your mind. It's easy to like, it's like as if I leave work and I'm like, oh yeah, like I should be thinking about spiritual matters. And that doesn't happen to me daily, but that is probably my biggest struggle, is keeping the hope set before me, before my eyes, being intentional with my coworkers, just asking questions about what they believe, why they believe it. And the hardest part, I think, and I would say in many ways in all of my Christian life, is just forgetting what I know to be true.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's been the biggest struggle in the workplace for sure.
Now, I think there are going to be a lot of people when they hear you saying that. When you say the biggest challenge is just forgetting what I know to be true. So what's the remedy for that? What would you say to people who are hearing you and saying, yeah, that's kind of the same boat I'm in. I forget all the time.
So personally, what always helps me is being very intentional in my devotional time, especially in the morning, so that, just going to God in prayer, begging Him, Lord, please keep my mind set on Christ. Keep me intentional. One thing I always encourage people to do, and my wife and myself daily, is to ask the Lord to give you opportunities, because He'll give them to you for sure.
He will.
And I, if I don't have that morning time where it doesn't necessarily have to be the morning, but that really helps me be intentional about my day. So I leave that devotional time. I say, Lord, please don't let this just be a morning thing for me. Mm-hmm. Keep my mind focused on the Word. Sometimes I'll take a few verses from what I read that morning, and I'll just say, okay, think about these all day. Write it on my hand. Put it as my phone background. And I just, that helps me keep spiritual matters on my mind. That helps me when I hear conversations, try to engage and just talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In just an effort to serve my own propaganda here, I'll also point out that you make a habit of meeting with other believers.
Oh, yes.
For the purpose
of third.
Pointing one another.
There's a stool. I talked about prayer.
You did.
Reading the Bible. Yes, I regularly meet with brothers, and it is, and my wife and I love to meet with you all at Providence. And this is for my own purpose. We live in an apartment like in Dayton area. We can't even fit you all in that apartment. Please invite us over to your houses so we can spend time with you.
You know what? Somebody told me that y'all did that, or that Ashley said that.
Hey, she's not afraid.
Would you have us in your home?
Yeah.
And they thought that was so fantastic.
Sure.
So, yeah. Invite Kyle and Ashley into your home for fellowship. I guarantee you'll be blessed by it. And the great thing about Kyle and Ashley, those of you who are listening, if you have them into your home, you will not have to steer the conversation toward the things of the Lord. They'll just go that way, and you'll be encouraged by it.
That's very nice of you to say.
Kyle, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
I think, and I really believe that having understood these things about you, people will appreciate more the things that you say and on this podcast. And so thank you for encouraging us, brother.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity.
All right, we'll talk later. Bye.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.